can move on to the last item on the agenda, number 10, last item on today's agenda, giant Pacific octopus. This is a briefing, again, with Craig Burley.
Well, good afternoon. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. And today, I would like to brief you on a giant Pacific octopus, Puget Sound. This presentation is a follow-up to commission direction that the department received on December 21st relative to three petitions that were received regarding a giant Pacific octopus. The objective here today is to present management options, a process, and schedule to address protection of giant Pacific octopus in Washington waters of the Puget Sound. I'll cover briefly the biology, harvest management status, the incident that occurred at Seacrest Cove, process schedule, management options, and at the end would like to provide an opportunity for commission discussion and guidance on this topic. So giant Pacific octopus or octopi or octopuses, depends on your plural nomenclature, range from California to Alaska and south to Japan. They're observed in depths from intertidal to 750 meters. They range in size, weighing between 440 and 100 pounds. There has been individuals observed up to 400 pounds. With an average maximum length of about 15 feet, others have been observed in the 20s. They have a short lifespan. They live 3 to 5 years. Life history, females lay 20,000 to 100,000 eggs, and they tend those eggs in their den for somewhere around a 230-day incubation period. Females die shortly after eggs hatch. The juveniles enter a planktonic stage for about 90 days, and then they settle out to the substrate and begin a more substrate-oriented life history. They mature sexually at about age 2. Relative to harvest management, recreationally in Puget Sound, the regulations are year-round with a daily limit 1. Currently, the Hood Canal, Marine Area 12, is closed. Recreational harvesters are required to harvest these animals by hand or an instrument that does not penetrate their body. Additionally, it's lawful for an angler to retain an octopus that's caught with hook and line gear. While we lack full accounting of the recreational harvest, in looking at our data from our creel survey that's in Puget Sound, it's a boat-based survey during the 2007 to 2011 period, there were a total of 25 octopuses estimated to be harvested, with another 76 released. During the same time period, 300 divers were surveyed in this effort, with one octopus reported as being harvested. Commercial harvest, prior to 2001, there was the ability to direct a shellfish pot fishery for octopuses. Staff looked at that data from 1998 to 2000 and saw about 100 pounds, and again, commercial data, this is in pounds, about 100 pounds were harvested annually in that direct fishery. There was additional individuals harvested incidentally to other commercial fisheries. But in 2001, the department closed that directed fishery. It was more about conflicts with that gear type and harvesting other unintended species. You could get a shellfish pot license, and it caused some concerns about catching a Dungeness crab or other species. So in 2001, that was closed. But there still is incidental ability for the commercial fishers to land octopuses incidentally in their catch. We looked at that data, and from 2007 to 2011, we see on average less than 50 pounds landed in any given year. The status of this species, while we lack formal stock assessment, based on the biology and the harvest of these species, we think they're likely in a healthy status. They're fast-growing, short-lived, high fecundity, and there's a low harvest rate. One point I didn't mention regarding harvest, the harvest data, both recreationally and commercially, is all species of octopuses combined. It's not separated out by species, to clarify. So on October 31st, there was a giant Pacific octopus that was legally harvested at Seacrest Cove. The diver had the proper licenses and collected that animal legally. It did create a lot of media coverage and concern from particularly the dive community with the fact that this individual, this animal, was harvested from a popular dive site. At the November 8th commission meeting, Director Anderson briefed you and on that incident, and you heard public testimony that this resulted in actually three petitions that were filed before the commission to take regulatory action to protect these species. On December 21st, I briefed the commission via conference call on those petitions, and at that time, the commission provided direction to the department to come before you today and brief you with respect to a process and a suite of options to consider. So the process and schedule that the department's proposing today here is to, based on the scope of management options that the commission would like to consider, we would recommend developing an ad hoc advisory group for the department and solicit nominations in January. In February, convene that advisory group and provide details with respect to the options that the commission is wanting the department to look at. During the February-March time period, the department would propose to conduct public workshops on these options with an intent to bring these options before you in April. We would then, in June, have public testimony on that information in front of the commission, with commission action scheduled in August. This process and schedule allows the department time to file code revisor language through our regular regulation process in order to adopt regulation changes in an August time period. With respect to the options, the department has four options for you to consider. You could direct staff to collect public input on one or all of these options. They range from option one, which is status quo. Option two is a Puget Sound wide closure of recreational harvest for giant Pacific octopus. Option three is a closure to recreational harvest at popular dive sites in Puget Sound. And option four is in response to the commission discussion at the last two meetings, and that would be to look at closure of recreational harvest of all species, no take areas, at popular dive sites in Puget Sound. And so with that, I would take any questions that you might have.
Okay, questions. I guess you, Commissioner Schmidt.
Chair, I was waiting to see if there were questions. If not, Fish Committee did take this up last night and would like to report out our recommendation to the Commission. First, that the Commission should go forward with a review of the giant Pacific octopus recreational fishing regulations. Second, that we start initially scoping all four options put forward by the Department. We'd noted that we may recommend narrowing the options after hearing from public comment. Third, that we would support the establishment of an advisory group to the Commission on options 3 and 4, and we concur with the proposed schedule as submitted by the Department.
Richard Jennings.
So I look at option 2, and I look at how many, what the existing level of harvest is. The giant Pacific octopus is about as charismatic megafauna for a marine individual that's an invertebrate as we can get. People write books on it. People, when they come out, when the National Geographic specials about Puget Sound or Washington's coast, they always bring in the giant Pacific octopus. People come from all over the world to see the giant Pacific octopus that is so easily seen in Puget Sound. To me, it seems like we have an amazing opportunity to market Puget Sound by making the giant Pacific octopus, by making Puget Sound a giant Pacific octopus sanctuary. If we close the harvest to giant Pacific octopus, it seems like there's very few individuals who are targeting them now deliberately. And the ability that we can market our closure and our sanctuary for this really gives us an opportunity to market our dive sites around the world for a very low cost to us. So I think option 2 is an easy one for me to get to very quickly because of the economic returns we can generate from not harvesting it. On option 4, on option 3, that just seems to be too much work for too little reward. Sorry, it just seems like to try and do it for each popular dive site seems really cumbersome. But number 4, and I'm the one who talked about number 4, what I was talking about from a public safety perspective, I think we need to look at what might be inappropriate consumptive uses that may occur in the same place and time in these marine watchable wildlife areas. Divers, for the most part, are diving to see wildlife. Digital cameras have really made diving much more popular than it was before because people can go underwater, get their pictures, just like Janet does, come back and share them with people. And people want to see giant Pacific octopus. The dive sites we have are being used for watchable wildlife. That's why people are doing it. I have no problem with maybe, you know, going after crabs by hand, but when we're talking about trolling through there with lures or fishing on top of divers, I have a lot of concerns from a public safety perspective. When I look at divers who are spearfishing, oftentimes the visibility is in the order of 10 to 15 feet. You're going to get a lot closer than that to get your ling cod, but if you miss, that spear goes a lot further than 15 or 20 feet. So again, from a public safety, I just wonder about how smart it is to allow spear fishing at our popular dive sites. Most spear fishers have their own boats and go to sites that are not used by other people because there is a fair amount of why are you catching the ling cod that I was about to try and look at discussion at these popular dive sites. So I think option 4 really does offer us an ability to sit down, and we actually got, and I think all the Commission got it, a an email from many of those giant Pacific octopus advocates saying, here's a bunch of our diocites we'd like you to look at. I think that offers us a great opportunity to start the conversation of how do we manage incompatible uses, what areas, how do we manage consumptive uses and non-consumptive uses close together so we don't have impacts. So again, I think setting up the advisory committee to look at managing or managing dive sites is great. I don't think it should be limited to managing dive sites for just giant Pacific octopus, which is how it was phrased in your advisory committee. You called it a GPO advisory committee. I think if we went for option four to analyze, it would be bigger than just a GPO advisory committee. It would be maybe a dive site advisory committee that I do not think should be limited, the advisory committee, just to divers. I mean, I think we do want the dialogue with consumptive users so we get the full range. And again, I don't know what the answer is going to come back, but I do think this is a great opportunity.
Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. For all reasons my colleague just laid forth, I firmly come down on option number two as well. I think sometimes it's just there's a decision that we face that it's just the right thing to do, and I think this is one of those that if you have a harvest rate of 25 over a 4 or 5 year period, it's not something that we will be denying a great number of people an activity for, but I think we would be extremely short-sighted in this state if we did permit any harvest of something that is so unique that we can use to our advantage economically to bring people into the state, as Commissioner Jennings has said, and to make this state an attractive destination site for this. And of a lot of critters, these do stand out as being unique. And I think if we can't protect to the ultimate what is truly unique to us, then I think we are being short-sighted in this for harvest of 25. And I venture to say that if there was another release to the public of somebody pulling up a 10-foot one on the beach, the negative impact we would feel would be quick and harsh.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand both Commissioner Jennings and my friend Brad's comments. I'm somewhat reluctant to want to support a closure for just closure's sake. And I say that we don't have a conservation burden. They're not a targeted species by recreational fishermen. They might be by divers, but not by recreational fishermen. To be very blunt, I've fished for 60 years, and of all the boats that I've been on and owned, I've seen one. Now, there might be some consideration on my part for something near shore, but if someone's fishing in deep water offshore for lingcod or halibut, I frankly can't see any harm in someone retaining one, but I'll stay open-minded.
Commissioner Schmidt? No?
I'll pass for a moment.
Commissioner Jennings?
I don't disagree that it's not a conservation issue. I'm trying to make the point that it's an economic opportunity for us and that we gain more by marketing Puget Sound as a giant Pacific octopus sanctuary than we do by allowing 10 people a year to keep the accidentally snagged or caught giant Pacific octopus they bring to the surface. That was my point. It's not a conservation issue. How do we market our state? And we've heard from the governor, ecotourism, being people, you know, and so that was my objective.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. David, I'd just like to drill down on a little bit. Help me understand economically, do divers, do they pay the state? Do they have a fee to dive in these select dive areas? Obviously, there's some economic contributions from filling tanks and gear and so on. But give me some insight on what that would do for the department, i.e. and the public.
They fly in from out of state. They stay in hotels. They rent cars. They eat in restaurants while they're here. I mean, there's a lot of economic tourism-related benefits to out-of-state divers coming, and we get a lot of out-of-state divers coming for this. So locally, you know, it's just like fishermen, but, you know, there's some, you know, money for doing it, but I think what I'm trying to do is use this as a marketing ploy for out-of-state recruitment, or, you know, encouraging out-of-state tourists to come.
We definitely don't have to solve this one. Commissioner Smith.
And that's the argument, because I don't know if we have really marketed it in the state. And I think there's an opportunity that could be right in our front laps to do this as such.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd just like to look down the road a little bit. If we're going to restrict angler participation in the public's waterways on behalf of the dive community, shouldn't the dive community purchase a license or permit from the state? There should be some quid pro quo there.
Mr. Jennings?
I'm happy to look at that. I don't think it's benefiting divers. I think it's benefiting the state economy. That's the point I'm making. This is not a pro-diver idea. It's a, how do we increase external tourists coming to Washington? But if we get down to buying a discovery pass so you can park to dive, I'm happy with that.
I'm done now.
Okay. Commissioner Duvia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's a good idea to promote the giant octopus as a tourism. I don't see anything barring the non-consumptive people from doing that immediately. I don't think the small catch is not a problem for conservation. We still have their population healthy, and our big tent committee should be all over this with the dive community to start promoting this for the benefit of the state. If we get into a conservation problem, we should just restrict it. But I think we need to do what we need to do is get our non-consumptive people to generate revenues more for us, and this would be a good one for us to do. The safety area, I thought we had restrictions on fishing or boating next to dive sites where the boats are, and maybe we need to enhance that. I'm also not aware of any significant accident cases that caused by fishing that are breaking or violating those rules. If that's the case, I think you could report back to us. But it looks like we're looking at regulating something that doesn't need to be regulated to some extent.
Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you, Chair. As you can see, last night we heard similar, very valuable discussions and information from both perspectives. And we came, finally, I think we came into agreement as a group that we'd be much better prepared to hear from the public, get public comments, and then begin to narrow down our options rather than our opening salvo at a chance to discuss this.
Yeah, a nice segue into wrapping this up. We do not have to narrow these management options at this point. We are just having a lively discussion, getting some of the views out there on the table. So, and you don't need any commission guidance from us, do you?
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I believe, based on this discussion, what I heard is the department should move forward with all four of these options for further development and then bring those back to the commission to see if there's interest in narrowing down that suite of options based on what we hear in this process.
Okay. Okay. So Commissioner Perry?
I just add one more thing. I agree with what Craig just said, that we ought to move forward with all those options. And I like what Commissioner Schmitten said also, that, you know, we're kind of getting the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit in terms of this discussion with public input, because we really don't know what the city received quite a few letters and so forth. I guess I would come down on the side of probably status quo to allow at least some take, possibly close major areas where they are. I'd like to know a little more before coming to any conclusion about what is the population out there. We're really having an impact. Maybe it's really tiny. Maybe we are having an impact with just the low level of take that we're doing. Maybe we're not. People have kind of given their opinion on whether it's a conservation problem or not, really with no data at all. And I guess I'd like to have more to go on before I would make a choice on anything that's up on the screen.
Okay. Commissioner Kenny?
Commissioner Perry spoke. I would be the only one that didn't weigh in, so now I have to. But I do agree with Commissioner Jennings and Commissioner Smith that we have to consider this. And there is no conservation issue either way in what we do. So if there is a big benefit tourism-wise, then I think that has to be considered. But I would ask you, as you start to get public information, give it a relative value. So that if the 10 people come to a meeting that actually harvest GPO, provide input, and if one diver that shows up, you know, we could be misled to think, well, the public input is all for, you know, not having or for having a season. But on the other hand, you know, just some relative value as to how many people showed from what sector, because I think there would be a lot of diving community people show up in support of what Commissioner Jennings has said. So make sure that that's part of the comeback.
Thank you, Commissioner Keeney.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good job. Terrific. Okay, we're ready to go into recess until tomorrow morning. We do have some committee meetings, the Big Tent Committee at Bud Bay, 5:30, 45 minutes from now, and the Wildlife Committee at Anthony's.
I'm sorry, I might be seeing the Washington School of Life. You signed up outside today. You might be okay. Myself and the guy from Seattle, I don't know who he is, but he's that guy.
Yeah, we didn't have public input scheduled.
Oh, sorry. Got it. Sorry.
You will have lots of opportunities, I guarantee you. We will see you back many times. Thanks for coming.